Your inner geek wants to come out and play. But where to go? Join Vernon Wells, the ultimate club where you and your fellow geeks can hang out, play games, and just nerd out 24/7. Whether you love RPGs, video games, or are just a major fan of sci-fi and geek culture, Vernon Wells has something for everyone. Let your geek flag fly at Vernon Wells. Sign up today and see for yourself. VNW.club. That's VNW.club.
Ladies, gentlemen, geeks of all ages, you are now entering BJ Shea's Geek Nation. Welcome.
Yes, welcome to BJ Shea's Geek Nation. I am the Reverend Enfuego. Across from me is Vicky Barcelona.
Hey!
We've got the show's namesake, BJ Shea.
Hey,
hi.
And running the boards is Joey Deez.
Hello.
On today's show, we will get comic book recommendations from Scott at Comics Dungeon. BJ will give us his own comic book reviews.
Uh-huh.
We will hear about the evils of the internet from America Online.
Oh, boy.
Maybe more. And, of course, the Geek Sheet with Vicky B. Vicky, how can people get a hold of us?
Your website, bjgeeknation.com.
Yeah! Mm-hmm.
It's got blogs, podcasts, you know, and more.
And more.
More!
One of the things that you can do also is go to
iTunes.
iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and leave us a review.
Yes.
Give us a 5-star. Tell us why you love us.
And you can get there by searching for BJ Shea's Geek Nation. Same with Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube.
Exactly. Give us those reviews and maybe we'll read them on the air.
Oh, you will?
Yeah, man. Maybe we'll see what goes on along those lines. Also, because if you say, hey, BJ, stop doing something like that, but also give us the 5-star review, that'll be kind of fun.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, sure.
All right, fine.
Let's get right into the comic book reviews because, well, it's Wednesday. It's comic book day, and we've got Scott from Comics Dungeon. Scott from Comics Dungeon joins us, and you can find him at comicsdungeon.com or go to the physical store in Seattle. Check it out on all the social media as well. Now, this is a big event happening in Marvel. The last time Jonathan Hickman did something, it was rebooting the universe with Secret Wars, and now it seems like there's being a sort of... Is this a soft reboot with the X-Men, or what's going on with this?
You know, I would call it a soft reboot. It's a great opportunity for people who haven't read the X-Men in a long time to jump on. I've not been a big X-Men reader basically forever. I probably have read a couple dozen issues, and Hickman's really good about bringing you up to speed and giving you the context for his stories.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah, it's a reboot, but a lot of it does, a lot of the more recent events do play in, and he's doing this in two different titles. He's got the House of X and the sister title called Powers of Ten or Powers of X, depending on how you want to pronounce it.
Oh yeah, all right, that makes sense.
yeah, exactly, and it's fascinating because the Powers of Ten is really kind of a history and future story of the mutants. The Powers of Ten, the Power Zero of Ten is one, so that's the first year of the X-Men.
Oh.
Power of X to the One is the current X-Men, and then X to the Two, 10 to the Second, and 10 to the Third are future storylines that he's building the context in.
Wow, it seems quite complicated.
Holy cow.
Okay, so it is, all right.
Yeah. Hickman never gives you a real easy read.
No.
And it is complicated, but he does present it in a way that, you know, if you're mostly sober and mostly paying attention, you'll be able to grasp it.
I love that. I just love that right there in terms of like, so, you know, you need to be paying attention and also, you know, not be inebriated and you'll love this. And to be perfectly honest, I think that works really well. The last time, like I said, I mentioned that I got really into Hickman's story was the Secret Wars when he did he blew up the entire, all of the multiverses and then reformed them and then had the kids from the Fantastic Four and just running out and reshaping the whole multiverses, which is what they're basically just coming back and doing now. And it was an involved story, but at the same point, the payoff was so good.
Yeah, no, this one's good, and he's really exploring the X-Men's relationship to the rest of the world. They've created a new sovereign nation, which in the past hasn't served mutants very well, but we're all trying to do it again. The mutants are offering the world some medicines that will extend people's lives and cure certain diseases if your country acknowledges the sovereign country that the X-Men are building, Krakoa.
Oh, yeah.
And Krakoa goes way back in the X-Men history, but they're now using it as a transportation device. You've got these plants like at the X-Mansion, and you kind of walk through a portal that these plants create, and then you get teleported to the Krakoa sovereign nation. They've got some of it on Mars, some of it on the moon, and Damn. It's just like, oh, wait a second, this is kind of cool. And you've got Magneto living on Krakoa, you've got the X-Men, so it's a utopian mutant world right now.
Wow. And I mean, this is already, it has a couple issues out for each, so you can kind of dive right in and get into it. And do you feel that this is required reading, and maybe this is something that if you haven't been a fan of the X-Men, it'll get you back into it?
Absolutely. I, you know, like I said, I haven't read much X-Men, and I'm like, okay, I can't wait for the next issue. And it's very, very interesting, complex, yet superhero-y at the same time, and I expect the payoff to be pretty big.
Awesome. I love it. I'm really excited. I'm going to have to pick this up. Usually I get them on Comixology, but one of the things that you should really do is if you go out there, go to your local comic book store and support them with this, and then let them know how much you like it. And then if you do like it, maybe they can suggest to you some other X titles or any other titles from like the vast, you know, universe of all the comics out there. You know, maybe a place like Comics Dungeon. Thank you so much, Scott. I love it. Again, comicsdungeon.com for all of your needs.
Thanks,
again, thank you so much, Scott. C4C3.org is their charitable thing, but also check out comicsdungeon.com for more information. BJ?
Yes, sir.
How many comics are you reading?
Well, not that many. Maybe right. Between 5 and 10.
Okay.
I did add a new one, though.
Really?
Yeah, I did.
Wow.
They got me, those rascals. Normally, they don't get me.
But this time they got you?
Whenever they go, oh, hey, let's do a little semi-crossover, but...
Uh-oh.
I had to, and boy, it was well worth it. As a matter of fact, I think they would get you with this semi-crossover that I just saw.
Really?
Yeah, I was reading issue number 12 of Fantastic Four,
mm-hmm.
and really cool issue where the Thing and the Hulk square off, which that has always been the classic battle back in the old school days of Fantastic Four and Marvel, was the Thing and the Hulk. The Thing was always considered one of the strongest guys, and then when the Hulk came along, it was obvious that, oh yeah, the Hulk was the strongest.
Oh yeah.
But he and Ben would go back and forth. The Hulk was relatively mindless in those days, whereas Ben Grimm is he has every bit of his personality and brain that he had when he transformed.
Mm-hmm.
This was an excellent episode, as it was the honeymoon for Ben and Alicia.
Oh yeah.
But you know, Ben's father-in-law is the Puppet Master. So,
whoops.
So the Hulk, you wonder why the Hulk is kicking his ass, and he keeps saying weird things while he's kicking Ben's ass.
Because maybe he's a puppet?
Maybe he's being puppetized. So that was a cool issue, and love it, man. Love it what Dan Slott's doing with the Fantastic Four. Really enjoy it, and I'm so hoping that Dan stays with them for as long as he stayed with Spider-Man, which was for many, many years.
I know. That's like one of those things that you don't realize how much you love a writer until they take on something that you adore, be it Spider-Man or Fantastic Four, and you're so stoked when you see them doing the one that you love.
Yeah, and it was a great way to bring them back. They also had another story in the Fantastic Four issue 12. It said, and right on the front cover, it says, plus Future Foundation.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you know, towards the tail end of Jonathan Hickman's run, as well as the Fantastic Four's run before their sabbatical, they went from Fantastic Four to the Future Foundation, mm-hmm. and it was a ragtag group of so many different kids, basically.
They couldn't call it the Fantastic Four anymore.
That also had Valeria and Franklin in there, also the clone of the Wizard, but it was 13 years old, Bentley. You had Alex Power from Power Pack. You had Moloids, and you had Dragon Man, and a beautiful scientist, a wonderful scientist from Wakanda, who isn't Shuri, but Anomi, I think, is who she is.
So
this whole team of brilliant people were in the basically multiverse, running around, creating worlds, doing whatever they did, and then eventually they stayed where they were as the Fantastic Four came back to our reality, because the Molecule Man, after Secret Wars 2.
Yeah, the big Secret Wars.
So Molecule Man was dispersed, and they're trying to find all of his pieces across the multiverse. That's what the Future Foundation's doing.
He's over here, a little bit of him over there.
And the first issue was cool because they're trapped, and they need to be rescued by the one and only Julie Power, who is a mess. And Vicky, if you remember this, Julie Power, you should remember her name. She was the girlfriend of Carolina from Runaways. That's who Julie Power is from Power Pack.
In the newer one, yeah.
Yeah, and so Julie has been dumped, or she dumped Carolina, and so we catch her basically being what it would look like for a 20-something to be really depressed about not having a girlfriend, flunking out of college, and having a life, and she's on her couch smelling like a goat and just pizza stuff all over her. And that's when her brother Alex goes, "We need to go back and get my sister to help us get out of this." And so her sister's pissed. So she's pissed, like, "Couldn't you wait for me? At least wash my hair or something?" Looks like she's going to be part of the Future Foundation. And they're on their adventures, which in the midst of their adventures, they kept saying, "Hey, we're trying to break into this prison to get out this person." And Reed Richards is in this prison. We got to get him out. And we're like, wait a minute, what's Reed Richards doing in the prison?
Yeah.
And so I'm like, did I miss something? Am I old? Because I thought Reed was fine. Yeah. And then it turns out, no, I'm not old.
Yeah.
No, I'm not missing anything.
Yeah.
And yes, this is Rev's favorite character.
Come on.
Yeah,
they brought him back.
The Maker.
Really?
Is in this issue.
Wow.
Unbeknownst to them that, no, that's not the Reed Richards you were looking for.
And no.
All S is going to break loose.
And this is one of those fantastic things, because in the Ultimates universe, Reed Richards is basically he's the biggest D in the multiverse.
He's planetary Warren Ellis's planetary evil. That's
who he
is. He
was the one that crashed the Ultimates universe into the 616 universe that caused the Secret War to happen.
That's right. The Maker is back, baby.
I got goosebumps.
Yeah. So, dude, that was in the first issue of this brand new book, Future Foundation, and the Maker was revealed, and I was like, if Rev's going to buy a book, it might be this one.
I know. Between what Scott talked about with the House of X and the whole thing going on with that, which is Hickman, his retake on the X-Men titles. Like, what he did with Secret Wars was fantastic.
Yeah, Hickman's brilliant.
And so with this, with the House of X, and then looking back into this and seeing how the Maker's going to go, this has got to be one of those things where this is leading into a bigger picture. And one of my favorite things in all of comics, and it started even with Batman, because Batman had his Rogues Gallery, and most people would say that the villains were the more important characters than the good guys.
Yeah.
And when I was talking about with like the MCU, with Thanos, with the Maker in this, you get these bad guys that have reasons for doing what they're doing. And sometimes, yes, with comic books, it'll be a little mustache twirly and you'll be kind of like rolling your eyes at it. But you need those bad guys so there are real stakes going on with this. So... I'm in on that one.
And if you love John Hickman, don't forget East of West on Image Comics, another brilliant just creation of the Four Horsemen and this insanity that he's got in that particular world. And it's again, Jonathan Hickman just doing what he does, writing some great stuff with some good art from Nick Dragotta. And that's another great book you can get as well.
And that was East of West?
East of West. It's on Image Comics. So if you love Jonathan Hickman, you're going to love that too. There's so much going on, man. man. So much going on, but I knew you'd be happy that the maker is back.
Yeah, that is really cool. Do you have any other comic books that you've been reading?
Well, I'm glad you asked. Yeah, of course, you know, I've been the Rat Queens. They have their new team, and so it's cool to see the Rat Queens doing what they're doing.
That's right, because the original writer of the Rat Queens has kind of bequeathed it to others.
Yeah, Ryan
to continue
Ferrier
the stories.
And Marco Lasco. And I love this. Just in the latest issue, they realize that Betty is a drunk and she needs an intervention. She needs a sponsor. And they summon an inner pixie inside of her to come out and be her sponsor. So,
it's like a Jiminy Cricket or something along those lines.
Yeah, you know, one of the other Rat Queens basically cast a spell or did some, you know, mojo on her. Now
sure.
She's got this little pixie that just drags her away from the bars. And meanwhile, Gary the A-hole, who was such an idiot way back in the early days of Rat Queens, he now has the power to basically run their entire town, and they're trying to figure out a way to defeat Gary, because Gary is just, you know, he's got them trapped, he's got them kidnapped.
Of course.
Rat Queens at their best, including they went to get help from one of their former Rat Queens, but she's pregnant with a bebe, and
she's
so
like,
she can't help him out right now.
Not doing it.
Yeah.
I'm on maternity leave, don't bother me.
I like it. I like what the new creative team has done with Rat Queens. They're an issue, I think, 17 is what it is.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
On Image Comics. And then Star Wars has got Han and Leia in the honeymoon suite on a planet as they're trying to do what they're trying to do. And this is right before episode 5. I mean, it's just right before see them on Hoth. This is this story called Rebels and Rogues. And it's a fascinating story as they're all basically trying to do what they got to do to outsmart the Empire.
Mm-hmm.
And,
outsmart, outwit, outlast.
And elude all these probe droids, which we know these probe droids are in the galaxy. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, so it's fun to see.
Survivor. Hoth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Guess what? You don't.
Ooh. Yeah. And Luke is encountering somebody that knows a lot about the Force, even though she's kind of a ne'er-do-well and really not a Jedi. But she knows some S about the Force. So
did her research.
I like this because we're seeing that Luke is getting an education, you know, outside of what he got with, Yoda in episode 5, and you wonder, like, how did he go from episode 5 to 6 being this Master Jedi? I love how they're filling in some blanks saying that he's had training and interactions along the way that have helped him be a better Jedi. And
makes
also
sense.
Yeah, I like this. And you know what? It's got a whole new team, obviously. You know, issue 68-ish, I believe it was, or maybe 69 was the first issue of this new team. I can't wait for them to get past this. I'd like to see what happens between episode 5 and 6. We're still right between 4 and 5, but we're close to the end, baby.
I love that. One thing that you may not have known about the internet is that, well, it's a pretty terrible place.
Yeah, it is.
For all the good things that the internet has given us, information, there's a lot of kind of dark parts about it. The comment section.
Yeah.
And here's an interesting thing, and BJ actually told me who was voicing this, and we'll wait until after the end of this little promo.
Yeah, see if
you
can get it.
Someone uncovered an old AOL commercial talking about the internet.
Some people think the internet is a bad thing. Somewhere your identity can be stolen, your home invaded, and your savings robbed without anyone setting foot inside your door. It is one of the most dangerous weapons ever created. A way for the unhinged to spread evil free of supervision or censorship. A place for mankind to exercise its darkest desires. An open market where you can purchase anything you want. Some people think the internet is a bad thing. What do you think?
Because we agree.
Yeah.
That was very ominous.
Doctor Who fans, do you recognize that voice? Alien fans, do you recognize that voice?
Mr. Brooks fans.
Oh, okay. All righty then.
Yeah, there's a deep cut. Don't watch that movie.
Yeah.
This was, like, you knew it almost right away.
His voice is one. I mean, he's the perfect voice for something like that. He's just got an amazing, he had an amazing voice, actually, and that was a great, great actor, John Hurt, we lost a couple years ago.
Yeah.
He's a brilliant British actor, he was, and I recognize his voice right off the bat.
And he was in Doctor Who as...
He was the war doctor. character.
Yeah.
It was a great. It was basically a movie, if you will, and it was basically showed the time war between the Daleks and the Gallifreyans and the Time Lords. And you know, it was always alluded to the fact when they restarted the series that you know, Christopher Eccleston was just off of something really horrendous. Basically, he was the only Time Lord left. There was nobody left, including no Daleks and no Time Lords, and you knew he had to do something really horrific to make that happen.
Yeah.
And John Hurt, basically in the Doctor Who movie, he basically was the war doctor who they never speak about. There's always the one incarnation they never spoke about. It went from the eighth doctor to the ninth doctor, and they never said that there was a doctor in between.
Oh.
And it turns out because he really was not the doctor, because the doctor was always about peace, but at one point there needed to be a regeneration that had to be a war doctor.
Get it done. Wow.
And so that was the story of that. And it was a great story, and William Hurt was fantastic, and it was a fun movie because it had Matt Smith and David Tennant in it at the same time. Sometimes that happens with Doctor Who, where they get both doctors or a bunch of doctors are together at one time because of some timey-wimey stuff, and so they get to interact with their former selves, and no doubt about it, it was great, and William Hurt was fantastic, and his voice is so John Hurt, so recognizable. William Hurt's a great actor too, but not the guy I'm talking about.
And one of the most interesting things about this is this was in the early 2000s, and it was when AOL was waning and the internet was this huge big place, and maybe some people don't realize that America Online in the 90s and in the 2000s, it really didn't want you to get on the World Wide Web.
They wanted you to do everything in their world.
Exactly. So it was the chat rooms, and it would be the different things, that the message boards that they would have in their program. So they didn't want you to go on the web because they had all their stuff for you right there.
If you want a great Netflix series to watch about the beginning of the internet and all that, go watch Halt and Catch Fire. It's incredible.
Really?
It's about the birth of the early computers and the race to get everything out there and the building of websites and how it was first to market and how you would promote things and who's going to be the first search engine and who's going to build the first computer and how much storage and where's your laptops and all that stuff. And
it's
crazy to watch because
and Catch Fire. All right.
It's a little overdramatic, but the story, though, and the acting's incredible. I really liked it. And, I mean, it's one of those, oh, now I kind of understand why it blew up so fast, how technology got so incredibly efficient, if you will. Because essentially, every time you put out a new product that was even a little bit faster, it sold immediately because it was so impactful. So people were making so much money and drugs and all these things that happened.
Well, you'll have that with money.
The seedy underbelly to the internet. Guess what? The internet is mostly bad.
And big conventions where everyone's trying to show their product off and having bugs and errors happen and then just getting no funding and then getting crushed and bought out and repurposed.
And this was, I think, kind of around the time of the dot-com bubble bursting as well. And that was one of those things where people were like, oh yeah, we'll sell pets online at pets.com. And you realize, well, there's actually issues with doing some of these things. And the early days of the globalization of the internet and the information age, it makes it so, you realize where it's been a long road in just the last, 20 years to get to this point.
Oh, yeah.
And just the leaps in technology have been outstanding.
Crazy. Yeah. What really sells the show is the intertwining of the technology and the art of it and how they wanted to build a personal computer to kind of speak to you and grow you as an individual, and the corporations being like, we just want to sell this now because if we don't, it won't sell.
Yeah, exactly. Or the simple fact is, it's like, well, maybe we'll push something out. Maybe it'll be a little buggy, but we can kind of work on it as we go. And that's what we see now with video games, where you don't get a finished product.
No.
You'll have to download a patch that sometimes is bigger than the game itself on the disc. That's just mind-boggling.
I don't remember those days where I had to basically buy a product that was defective brand new.
Day one patch.
That never was the case when I was playing PC games way back in the day. Now it's commonplace.
Every game is in beta. Every single online game is in basically infinite beta, where we're like, we're working on it and we're going to make it better. No game goes gold anymore unless it's maybe a console single player game. Few and far between have these.
Yeah. And America Online was basically, they wanted to be your email provider and your web browser.
Yeah.
That was the key. And so they wanted you to be in their inclusive world. And then all of a sudden, Netscape and the things came out. And I remember CompuServe way back in the day.
CompuServe,
Yeah. You know, it really it was amazing, and AOL was easy. I mean, it was an easy mm-hmm. way for you to have an interface to get to the internet, if you will, the World Wide Web. But then eventually, yeah, there was
This ad proves everything they said right there came true. So
great. What I really really like was this idea that unhinged people could really spread stuff, and that we're seeing today. And a lot, unfortunately, you know, when he said they could spread evil, you know, really what it is unhinged people are spreading their unhinged beliefs, which are
misinformation.
Mental illness. I mean, mentally ill people are just basically throwing stuff out there, and that is something that is really true, which is why I always promote mental health awareness, suicide awareness. We do that a lot. Yeah. I feel like a lot of the ills of today's society could be cleared if we just would address these issues, and at a very young age, so that kids can learn how to deal with emotional pain. Mm-hmm. And, you know, kids can do anything. I mean, you can train a kid to do anything. We can see that. There are adults that have grown up with really stupid opinions that they got when they were children, and they just got them because they got them from the gods of their life, their parents.
Yeah.
And you look at them and go, this kid's a good kid. He was just told way back in the day, you know, the sky is green. And he's like, all right, mom and dad, I believe you. And now it takes him so long to go, I don't know, I keep looking at that and it looks green to me. That's what green, that color looks green. Well, we can do this, and we can do this pretty well with mental health awareness and being cool.
Absolutely. So, I agree with that. I completely agree with that. And, I mean, seriously, just pay attention to what your kids are looking at online. It's hard to do, but it's something that you need to do.
Yeah, don't let them download that BJ Shays Geek Nation podcast.
Or at least make sure they leave a 5-star review.
Oh, yeah, they should do that.
I wonder, are chat rooms still a thing? I don't know.
Not really.
You know what?
I remember back in the day, those are fun.
If they were, I don't know if any of us would admit it, right?
If you guys ever met, they're just called group messages now.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
I mean, that's essentially what a chat room was, right?
Yeah. You're right.
My favorite meme about this, it's like, we don't say BRB anymore because we never leave the internet.
That's true.
It's true.
Well,
BRT, be right there. Oh, I am there.
Well, now it is time for
The Geek Sheet with Vicky B.
Vicky, dare I ask what's going on in your mind?
All right. Well, first, I do want to start off with two memes.
Okay, only two.
Meme.
All right. Well, this is actually a tweet from Uno, the game Uno at Real Uno Game.
I don't know this game. What is it? What is it about?
It's something one of those about numbers.
Yahtzee.
Yes. Number game.
So that's a roll and write game.
They tweeted this out, and it's blowing my mind.
Mm-hmm.
They say with the shouty face, you do not need to pull a card until you have a color that matches the discard pile.
What?
So normally, like, let's say you have a hand and you don't have the color or the number. You draw a card, and normally you just keep drawing until you have something that you can put down.
Right.
You're not supposed to do that. You're only supposed to draw one card.
Yeah, that's how I've always played it. You just draw one card.
No, I've always drawn multiple until you get.
So you had to play. Who made that? So that's not a rule?
No. That's apparently a thing.
Now, here's the thing.
What?
I've most recently played Uno aside from Vicky when we were just killing time waiting for everyone else to show up.
We played Uno Attack,
different.
You only hit the button once, which you may get one card, you may get zero, you might get five.
Uno used to have an app on the iPhone, on iOS, where it would be, you could, basically it was like Uno with friends, and you could play that, and it would always, and that was how I remember, because you would only draw one card if you didn't have anything to play, and it wasn't, and you could play it immediately if it matched the colors or the numbers, so you could kind of get like a free pass if that was.
It changes the whole game.
It does, because suddenly you don't get like bombarded with like 800 cards because you get screwed.
Funny. I always thought that
was
funny.
I can't believe somebody house ruled that, and we just thought that's what it was.
The same thing with Monopoly. Free parking is not supposed to mean anything other than just a free space. People added that, you know, you'd put money in the middle.
That I knew,
yeah, and that was it's like, that's not how the game's played. And I mean, to be perfectly honest, nobody plays Monopoly correctly anyway. It's not supposed to be a 6-hour slog.
Yeah, because I think what you're supposed to do technically when you land on a spot, if you don't want to buy it, then it automatically gets offered up to everybody else.
It does?
Yeah, it goes up to auction. The game is supposed to go a lot faster than anyone
that
plays it.
That makes a lot more sense now, because I was like, how could you ever get all three properties?
Right.
Because you're never going to land on all three. God, I was taught that game wrong.
I think the reason why is because that game gets real cutthroat and you lose really fast.
And it does, too. It's supposed to like mimic like the actual markets out there.
Yeah.
But everybody wants to be like, well, we're going to play and it'll be a nice, fun, long time. And then it just goes down to attrition where after 3 hours, everyone just gives up.
Yeah. Oh, man. No wonder I don't like Monopoly.
Dude, this totally reminds me of this video that's been kind of going around Facebook. It's this poor kid who's crying. He was playing Monopoly. And he's I felt so bad for him. And he's upset over Monopoly.
Oh, my gosh.
What's been, where's all your money gone, Donnie?
Taxes. 9, 10, 11. Let me fix my houses.
Bug, it's okay. It's part of the game.
No, it's not. It's not fun.
It's not fun to what?
It's the worst part of the game.
It's what?
Dude, this kid's breaking down.
Yeah, that's not
welcome,
good.
Welcome to the real world.
I was going
to
say, wait till you get older and you get that first paycheck. Yeah. You're not going to be
taxes.
Happy.
Taxes!
And I'm just like, oh.
Hard lesson, but he's learned the right lesson.
Right.
Right. Taxes!
All right. I do have another meme.
Yeah, what's your memes?
I lied. Where'd it go? I lost it, guys.
Oh.
It was a game suggestion.
Dang it.
All right.
Somebody wrote, here is a board game suggestion.
Oh.
F you, play the games you haven't played in a long time, you a-hole.
That would be Vicky to all of us at the BGA, the Board Game Alliance.
Yeah, you guys are always playing the new hotness. Who's like, what about that other game? Oh, we played it once. We're good.
Though I will say this, Josh finally pulled out Pixie Queen, which is a great game, and it looks amazing. And I remember we played it one time, and Josh was like, why are we not playing this? It's a beautiful game. And I look at Josh, why? Look in the mirror and find out why we don't play any
stop
other game more than
starting
once.
So many
stop
games.
Stop buying new games, you stupid butthole.
You guys not like have different shelves for like games you liked, games you really liked, and games you know you're not going to get back to?
I have now bags of
right,
games
Joe,
that I'm
should.
Not playing that I'm going to be donating or getting rid of. But I love what somebody commented. They're like, you're 100% right. Also, F you.
Yeah. We should play these games more often. You're right.
Do I have time for one quick thing.
One quick thing.
So apparently, in one way or another, we are getting a Mr. Fantastic.
What?
I mean, I already saw him on The Boys, and he was very perverted.
No, that wasn't the same. Mr.
Oh, that was Ezekiel.
Oh, yeah.
A slight difference.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean.
Oh, and he's getting played by Spock.
Which one? Zachary or Ethan?
Ethan.
Oh, Ethan Peck is Mr. Fantastic? Mm-hmm. Okay.
So what actually is going on? So Marvel's actually following up their Wolverine the Long Night podcast. They're doing a... basically a podcast retelling of the Marvel's limited series from Kurt Busiek and Alex Ross, which was really popular in
the mid-90s.
Alex Ross
is a great artist.
His art is amazing. Yeah.
So they have now announced their voice cast for Marvel's. So it's going to be Clifford Method Man Smith. That's right, Method Man from Wu-Tang Clan.
Who's he going to be?
He's going to be playing Ben Urich. So if you remember in Daredevil, he was a journalist.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
he
cool.
was a cool dude. Actually,
yeah,
he was,
yeah.
I was sad to see him go the way he went.
Yeah. Yeah. But I love that it said, I'm like, wait, Method Man's playing him?
That's amazing.
Anna Sophia Robb, who was in Hulu's The Act, she was also, I believe, in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. She was Violet.
Oh, okay.
And same with Bridge with Terabithia. She's playing Marcia Hardesty, which I looked her up, and it looked like she was a secretary to somebody at the Journal. I'm sure they're going to change that up.
Mm-hmm.
Ethan Peck is going to be Mr. Fantastic.
Love it.
And then Seth Barish from the Showtime's Billions as Phil Sheldon. So Marvel's takes place in the aftermath of Fantastic Four's battle with Galactus high above New York City for the fate of the world. So one intrepid photographer, an ambitious college student, a cynical journalist embark on an investigation to confirm or debunk one of the most superpowered conspiracy theories of all time.
Oh, so wow. It's kind of like street level sort of thing looking at it.
Yeah. I wonder if this is the first battle with Galactus, if we're going back like in the Marvel Universe back in the days of when he first showed up.
And that was one of those things that was like the Marvels was a re kind of telling of these stories from like the street level, like people trying to break out.
Oh, I haven't seen any of these Marvels. Oh.
Yeah. It was comic book form in the 90s. And it
was cool.
And it was the Alex Ross, just beautiful paintings that are mixed with it.
Mm.
They were classics. And it's kind of fun to see that they're going to be bringing this into an audio form.
I missed all this. And it's cool. Podcasting has made the audio form something that you could really want to consume. I know in England, I forget the name of the company, Big Something, that does all these Doctor Who audio. And they bring back the old stars that, yeah, maybe they can't do it on television anymore. But
yeah.
All of the old performers are doing these great, Big Finish. Big Finish does all of these great things. They just released one with David Tennant. And
really?
Yeah. And so if you're I was so excited to see that now we're doing this in America, where, you know what, why not have some audio entertainment based on our favorite
stuff?
This
reminds me when we when the Blue Dart, which was one of our buddies, Thrill from the radio station, and Travis Bundy.
Yeah.
And I actually was one of the characters in it, so I was like, hey.
Yeah, they did an audio drama.
Yeah, and it was a comic book. It was a superhero named the Blue Dart.
But it also reminded
ahead of your time, Vicky.
I know.
Well, I mean, remember, like, they would do the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy radio plays in Britain.
Oh, yeah.
Like the theater of the mind for radio was a real thing, and now with podcasting, you can bring that back in a form. It's fun.
Audio entertainment's always been well appreciated in England.
Mm-hmm. And the Marvels podcast will begin airing in the fall, and it will be 10 episodes long, and will stream exclusively on Stitcher until it gets a wider release in 2020.
Nice. That's really cool. So, well, see, BJ, you're getting your Fantastic Four, sort of.
I wouldn't mind seeing him play Mr. Fantastic just in general.
Right?
Ethan Peck, I think
we
would
never
do a great
thought
job.
Of that.
Oh, yeah. Maybe this could lead to a test or something.
He could be a Reed Richards.
Well, love it.
Until next time, guys, stay nerdy.
Your inner geek wants to come out and play, but where to go? Join Vernon Wells, the ultimate club where you and your fellow geeks can hang out, play games, and just nerd out 24/7. Whether you love RPGs, video games, or are just a major fan of sci-fi and geek culture, Vernon Wells has something for everyone. Let your geek flag fly at Vernon Wells. Sign up today and see for yourself. VNW.club. That's VNW.club.